Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. We are back in studio, one day removed from the Chip Challenge, which is now available on our YouTube and Facebook pages, our YouTube channel. I survived. I would not call my performance Rocky-esque by any means, but...
The outcome was predictable. What I will say is, because we would like people to go and check it out on both our YouTube channel and then or our Facebook page, Whiskey Congress. It was fun. It was entertaining. There was not a lot of drama, but there were some very dramatic moments, if that makes a lot of sense.
Right. There was no drama about who fared better in the event, but there was drama of me.
So the real question is, how are you feeling today?
I feel fine. So I got a text from Beth today saying that she's hurting on the other end, and I'm fine. So I won the war.
So, I mean, you've been to the bathroom?
It should be, as the saying goes, out of my system. Not saying there wasn't some burn. There definitely was, but it was not nearly as bad as what I went through yesterday when I was literally in agony. And again, you were there, and we want people to go take a look at it, so I won't say anything more. But it was fun. The Barley House was awesome.
Yeah, the Barley House was a great venue.
They took perfect care of us. Amir was awesome.
Amir was our timer girl, and I think looking back on it, I wish we would have done it a little bit different, organized it a little bit better. Obviously, you and I don't organize a lot of events like this, so...
I'm not doing it again just so you can get it right, if that's where you're going with this.
Fair enough, but I mean, I think other... maybe public challenges are in our future. We actually drew a pretty decent crowd.
Yeah, and a lot of people came out. Thank you.
So it was nice. It was fun. I think we definitely do something like that again. And like I said, we maybe organize a little bit better. But we're new to all this, and so we appreciate people growing with us and spending the time with us. But definitely go check the video out on, like I said, on YouTube, Whiskey Congress, Facebook as well.
I'd say thank you to Josh Lawhorn who took the video for us and then edited it down, did a great job for us. He's a local stand-up comedy friend of mine, and he does a bunch of other stuff, so check him out. Joshua, I think it's J-Law Comedy, at J-Law Comedy on Twitter. Anyway, so yeah, I survived. I was literally not in pain after about half an hour, but I was in discomfort until late last night.
Okay, as I miss my lips.
Steve has a drinking problem like an airplane where he couldn't get the speaking of drinking, you're drinking the Rabbit Hole Bourbon. We've reviewed that before.
Yeah, we're kind of backlogged on whiskey at the moment, so we opted to not jump into something new, but I just went back to the Rabbit Hole, and it same score, it, 88.
It did not get better. Yeah, I'm drinking a 10 high Manhattan, so whiskey all around. Oh, yes, we know where you stand on that. So anyway, thanks again, Barley House. Brittany and Steph and Amir took care of us.
Jumping out of that, which was a lot of fun. We appreciate everyone for coming out. Switching gears to some of the topics of the day and of the week. We had two school shootings this week. The first was in Italy, Texas. There was a girl injured. The kid was arrested, and he's being charged. But fortunately, no one was killed. And then there was another school shooting in Kentucky, and unfortunately, there were two deaths
and 17 injured or something.
Yeah.
And,
conversation about, these mass shootings and shootings in general and gun control, that whole argument starts again.
And this the Kentucky shooting, according to a radio show I listened to, was the 11th school shooting of the year. 11, and we were 23 days or 24 days into January when that's every other day there is a shooting in a school.
When you look at this from an analysis standpoint, and you listen to the Second Amendment people and the gun advocate, gun right advocates, you listen to the other side, the left with their standard argument about, you know, common sense gun control. And I the solution here is somewhere in the middle. You know, the Second Amendment people feel that just put a gun in everybody's hands and let right. that resolve things. You know, they say they're
really dumb, but
they say they're for common sense gun control, but they're really not, because, you know, if you follow the one guy, Colleen Noir, his whole thing is that they don't want just common sense gun control. They want to take everybody's guns away from them. And then he goes to some quote from Nancy Pelosi, where Nancy Pelosi says, if I could, I would take everybody's guns right. away, which is just like, all right, well, shit. I mean, she just said it. And again, I contend to you, Jim, that some of these people are not as smart as we think that they are, right? As we prop them up to be, or even as smart as they think they are, right? Because, you know, they some of the just the things that they say that they put out there for consumption, and then, you know, you put it back in their face, and it's just like, how can I sit there and say Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to take everyone's guns? She wants common sense gun control, when she said, if I could, I would take everyone's guns away. Right. So,
well, she said if.
Right.
The truthful truth is, I don't know the context that was said in. It does show her true colors when it comes to gun ownership. But if she was trying to make the point that, you know, if part of that is the toothpaste is out of the tube and it's not going back, and she was trying to fine. Yes, but she still made a dumb statement. She made again, an easily quotable dumb statement that makes it impossible.
And that's the important part. Right, I get the, you know, well, the context and everything else,
right.
But we are at a point in time where you have to control for the fact that no one gives a fuck about context anymore. In an age of Twitter and 242 characters, no one gives a shit about context. They want something quotable, and people in the public eye have to stop giving these quotable moments, because people are stupid. The people consuming information are stupid, right? They want it in short bursts. And so the people who want attention are going to say, they're going to take everything you say out of context now. They don't give a fuck. They're not issuing retractions. They don't give a shit. They're going to use it and manipulate it in a way that it, to their advantage. And people are going to soak it up. And people, it doesn't matter if you present people with facts to that contradict what is being presented to them. It doesn't matter. So, you know, the people out there putting information out have to be smarter about how they put things. So, you know, going back to gun control, the question is, some of these things that we talk about in terms of common sense gun control.
Right.
Would that have prevented this particular
these events?
Yeah, the Kentucky shooting and the shooting in Texas.
I don't know enough details, but the probable answer to that is no.
Right. You know, I mean, because chances are, Texas, like, I mean, there aren't many rules against owning a gun. I think you have to be human.
I don't think I doubt that's written. Right, you could probably get, for certain breeds of dog, you can probably also have a gun if you're trying to protect yourself.
I mean, like, you know, Texas isn't, you know, a state where they do a lot.
And Kentucky is not that different.
Right, exactly. So, you know, chances are the parents legally owned the gun. These kids are, you know, these
16
kids are
in the case 16. Of Kentucky.
So, I mean, even if you lock it up, a kid can figure out a combination.
Right.
A kid can find a key, you know, unless you, I mean, that's a strong argument for, you know, and I don't know the situation, how the guns were
I don't
held.
Either. I don't think we'll get that information.
Right, and I don't know where these kids got these guns. I'm assuming that they came from home, right? But they may have found a way to get the guns, you know.
Even in Kentucky, I doubt you can buy a gun at 16. I mean, right, in most Ohio, almost, I think 21, maybe right, it's 18.
I think almost everywhere it's 21 to buy it. But, I mean, you can, but I think that you can, to buy it, but I think you can own it if a parent, but like if you,
yeah, oh yeah,
you know, if I wanted to buy my daughter a gun when she was 16 so she could go hunting or shooting or whatever, I think that's allowable.
And
I don't want to speculate on the laws, but the point is, I guess we have to figure out the laws. We have to figure out what was the scenario. How did these kids end up obtaining
right.
guns,
getting them into school, and then.
Well, I mean, the biggest key is how do they get their hands on the gun,
right?
Because we know how they bought them in the school. They put them in a bag or whatever, and they walked in, and then they started shooting.
But some people say, "Oh, well, we should have metal detectors everywhere," but you can't do that. There's just
can't because inner city, they got metal detectors.
Good point.
And this shit never happens in the hood.
Yeah,
and if there's a shooting at a school in the hood, and this is, I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's absolutely not. If there's a shooting in the hood, it's a drive-by and it's gang or drug related.
Right.
And it also would never get reported as a mass shooting at a school. I could tell you that. I was where I lived in Youngstown on the north side, there was a school called RAN. And actually RAN was at one point in time a very prominent school, a lot of professional athletes, NBA, NFL back in the 70s came out of the school in the 80s. And it was a massive school, but it, you know, over time, inner city, rundown.
Right.
And
it did the Youngstown thing where the steel market falls out and then everything goes to shit.
The city goes to shit. So I lived right across the street from this school, about two blocks down or so. And I went to a Catholic school, and for whatever reason, we had a day off, and Rand didn't have that day off. And I was sitting out, we lived in a duplex on the top. On the top half of a duplex, it was an up-down double, and we lived on the top. And I was outside about 10 o'clock in the morning, just kind of planning my day. Oh, I got a day off from school. What am I going to do today? And I hear tires squealing, and I look down the street where I hear them coming from and hear the unmistakable sound, tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat- then it flew down the street, busted a left, and then boom, was gone. And I just
shooting at the school.
Or shooting at the school. They drove by the because there were students outside. There were students outside, and drive by, light the school up, go right down the street. You never heard a word about it.
Was anyone killed?
No, nobody was killed. I think somebody was injured, if I remember. It was on local.
That was your high school days, so
right.
Not as long back as my high school days.
Right, but it was still a while ago. I just realized my 20-year reunion is coming up next year. But anyway,
oh good. Are you gonna go?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm fucking kicking ass and taking names. Why wouldn't I go?
Okay, fair enough.
I look good. Like, I'm doing good. Like, yeah, I'm fucking going
to
go.
You walk in with your powerlifting trophies like, oh, I forgot to put these down.
Yeah, as my powerlifting trophies. Yeah, that's what I'm going to walk in with. Uh-huh.
You might. You take a lot of pride in your powerlifting.
Okay.
You don't?
I do. I do. That's fair. I'm sorry I jumped on you. But
you can't have a I'm a lawyer trophy.
Well.
You walk in with your degree. Hey.
True. Like, what if I could walk in with my diploma and, hey, look at this case. I just
happened to carry this with me today. Right. What are y'all up to?
Either way. Like I said, I'm kicking ass, taking names. So, fuck yeah, I'm going to the reunion. But, I mean, but that was something that I experienced. Never heard, no one heard about it. Now, it's a different time,
yeah.
Right? But listen, that shit still goes on in inner city, fucking Cleveland, St. Louis, Chicago, whatever. And you would never, ever hear a story on national news.
It would be reported as gang shooting, not school shooting.
And it would never make it beyond the local news, right? I mean, so, I guess, I mean.
There are specific, I'm now thinking back, there was one weekend where there were like four different shootings in downtown Cleveland. At least one of them resulted in the death of, I think, two teenagers. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I knew about it because of the local news, but it was not. And, I mean, that's the devastating reality of it, right? That gang shootings get treated like, oh, yeah, that's happening.
Right. And it's actually not news, right? They'll report it locally because anytime someone is shot locally, like, typically they'll at least throw a blurb out there on the news or in the Plain Dealer or the paper or whatever, yeah. But it's definitely not going to make it. It's not going to rise.
You're not
going to
see it on CNN or Fox unless there's something salacious about it.
Exactly. So I guess all that to say, you can definitely put metal detectors in schools.
True.
But they're never going to do it in these schools where these type of shootings happen because of the stigma and the image because, well, you only do that in inner city schools and you only do that where all the black kids are. Right, or all the Latino kids are. They're not going to do like in these school shootings.
I wonder if there will come a point where people say, you know, I want my kids to be safe, and I want metal detectors at Davy Crockett Junior High School. It's a sad state of affairs if that's actually I don't know if that's actually a school in Kentucky, but I'm betting you it is.
I guarantee you it's a school in Texas.
Okay.
I guarantee you it's one in Texas. But you're right. I don't know if we get to that point. I don't know if we get to the point where people say, I'm more worried about safety than I am the image and the stigma, so put a metal detector. Now, listen. Does putting metal detectors in schools prevent this from happening? Again, I don't know, because some of these schools, and I think to some of the schools in Youngstown where I'm most familiar, and there were multiple entry points, and metal detectors aren't cheap.
No, they're not.
So you're not necessarily going to have...
And if they're not guarded, if you don't have... if you have a metal detector, you need to have an armed guard there.
Right.
I don't want armed guards in schools. Mother... Ah.
You
Can
don't.
I just eat another spicy chip? And
yeah, I mean, and that's what you have to kind of play it out. And so, how do we prevent this? Is it metal detectors, armed guards at the school? And a lot of your Second Amendment right advocates are saying, listen, if you want this to stop, you need to have you. It the whole idea of a good guy with a gun, and it sound when you say it that way, good guy with the how do you stop a bad guy with a gun? Is a good guy with a gun. You say it kind of dismissively, but in this particular situation, I don't know. Is that the answer? Because
who's the good guy with a gun? A teacher?
No.
Armed guard at a...
Right, but one of my good friends out in Arizona, he's the resource officer at a school in Arizona.
All right.
And so he's there, and I mean, he's trained with weapons and everything else. I mean, I know that he has a weapon on him, so it's not that far out of the realm of possibility, and who knows? Maybe this school did have that. Maybe the school in Kentucky did have a resource officer there.
I don't know.
Armed with, I mean, because that is becoming more and more common, having a police officer there. Remember, we talked about it, months ago, almost probably a year ago. Remember the resource officer that went overboard?
Yeah,
and chokeslammed the girl.
Right.
Because
no one reacted. Everyone just out there like, oh yeah,
that's
officer
that's,
whatever is beating the shit out of someone again.
Right. I mean, so the. I think we're closer to this idea that people are looking for, like the only way to stop the bad guy with the gun is a good guy with the gun. We have it there, but let's say the school in Kentucky had a resource officer there who did have a gun, that kind of goes to the point where it's not doing you any fucking good,
right?
Because he killed two people.
I mean,
now, their argument is
Columbine had armed security guards.
I didn't know that.
They did. They were on lunch break. They planned the attack for when they were on lunch break.
Wow.
And then when shit was going down in the cafeteria, they both basically said, you're paying me $15 an hour. My life's worth more than $15 an hour. They waited for the real law enforcement to arrive.
Well, that's shit.
They didn't say those words, but broke down to was they said,
I'm not paid for this.
That was never said, but that was the implication. Is once it was, okay, this is going down. You're our security. They went, we're not qualified for that. Let's wait for the real police.
Yeah, but now the resource officers are real police officers.
Yeah,
my buddy out in Arizona is, he was a cop here locally in Northeast Ohio. Then he moved out to Arizona. He's, he's very tactically well-trained in that, which I'm surprised he's doing. Actually, I get why he's doing it. It kind of takes him out of the line of fire. He's got kids at home, a wife
right.
and a family. So
does it take him out of the line of fire?
Well, exactly. But I feel that the reason why they're using him and people like him is in that situation, his reaction would be better than the guys at
right.
Columbine.
Right.
right?
Yep.
You would hope so. And so again, how do we stop this? Right. If we have resources, if we have officers in the schools already. Right. And maybe these schools aren't as far away from getting metal detectors as we think. Is that a solution? Because if you want to do something like this, you're going to think about it, right? I mean, if you're really going to go through
a plot, you're going to find a way. Right. But speculating that this kid snapped for whatever reason, it probably wasn't a well-calculated plot, unlike Columbine, which was.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. What's amazing to me, though, is there have been 11 of these events in this country this year to date in 20-whatever days, and I only knew about, 3 of them. So even the
one in Texas,
you had to tell me about.
Right.
No one died, so it didn't get as much.
Right. I mean, I think it's frustrating that this happens and you don't have that same sort of, oh my God, Columbine feeling.
No.
It's just.
We talked a couple years ago, it was probably this last year, when I told you I was getting numb to this and you kind of, gotten my on my case a bit and said, you can't get numb to this stuff.
But yeah.
It's hard not to.
Right. I mean, it's hard not to because of the frequency, but we absolutely have to continue to acknowledge
right.
it.
Absolutely. You're right.
You know, and say we have to start to think of solutions around it. Now, the solution is, you know, vacuum suck all the guns off the street. But
okay, Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I mean, that's the solution to fix it. But that's reality.
That's not going to happen. Yeah,
That's not that's not what I want.
I mean, I'm you know the like, gun nut of the show.
Right, you're a gun nut, but I'm a strong Second Amendment advocate myself. I have no hangups about guns. I mean, obviously, responsible gun ownership and everything else. I don't want to see people lose guns. I mean, you're a responsible gun owner. You hunt. You use your weapons appropriately. At the appropriate time, I think.
I also don't have kids around my house, so that's
true.
That changes
but
the
but I do, and I do.
Right.
But I mean, mine is in a safe, in a locked
right.
in a closet that my daughter. There's no way my daughter can get access
right.
to. So,
the one thing you hear all the time, and it's not wrong, when something like this happens, is this is a mental health issue. And it is. Mm-hmm. I had some bad days in high school. I never picked up a gun and shot anybody. So the mental health aspect is a legitimate thing, but without the gun in place, this doesn't go nearly that bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's the mental health thing can only get you so far because mental health is not new.
No, it's not.
But what is new,
and maybe not new, but newer, is the number of kids who are on some sort of, for lack of a better word, psychoactive drug, whether it's to treat depression, whether it's to help them focus.
But I don't know if those things are tangibly connected. Are those the kids on the drugs, are those the ones shooting the school up?
I don't have the data in front of me.
But if the kids that are shooting up the schools are not on drugs, then that argument doesn't matter because we've always had crazy people.
Well,
and we've
you're always had guns. You're right.
But now we have more guns, and we have the same percentage of crazy people. Like that's not going to shift, right? Like I don't care what you say about we have more instances of X, Y, and Z. No, we've always had the same number of crazy people. We just now know how to diagnose it. They've always been there, right? Like kids from today.
I'm fighting back at Chris Rock line.
Kids, please do. Kids from today aren't any more crazy than the kids from the fucking 70s. It's just that now we know how to diagnose them. Now we know what attention deficit disorder is. We know what kids with autism is, all the different, maybe they're on the scale. They're not on the scale, whatever. We just know what this shit is now. It's not more. There's nothing where more people are crazy. No, the same percentage of people are crazy now that were before. So why are they shooting up the schools now?
Okay.
Where they weren't before. That's the question. How do we stop that?
And if I had the answer for that, I probably wouldn't be sitting here. I'd probably be sitting here. Because I wouldn't be getting listened to. But I don't have the answer. The closer for me on this is it is discouraging, if not disturbing, how numb I feel when I hear this news story. I'm not sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe this. I'm thinking, here's another one. And that's fucked up, and you can call me out for my thinking all you want.
I'm not going to call you out. I mean, it's
hard not to feel that way. I mean, it's literally.
For me, so the way this happened is what happened in Texas, I think that was Monday or Tuesday.
Right.
And then what happened in Kentucky was like Tuesday or Wednesday, right? Like there was only a day or so between
right.
them. And I saw both stories. I saw the one in you know what? I think it hits me a little bit different, and I hate
you're
to say
a father.
It.
No,
I'm a dad.
Yep.
So, and I just think, man, I got a 3-year-old. Now, my 3-year-old, she's in preschool, like daycare
right,
or whatever.
Right.
So I don't think there's a disgruntled 3-year-old coming in with a
no,
gun.
No, but you there know, were but was so that Adam Lanza did shoot up an elementary school. I mean,
well, yeah, that's but that's a little bit different. I don't think my point is that none of my daughter's
right,
classmates right now at this age are going to come
I'm
in.
I'm fairly confident that you will not.
I'm confident of that. But I did. I do get a little sentimental and worry because, you know, like she's growing up. She's getting older. You know, every time you see her, she's a little bit bigger. She's a little bit smarter. You know what I mean? Like, she's she's already outsmarting you. It's only going to get worse.
I'm going to let that go. I know what you're referring to, but it was funny to me last time or a couple times ago, I showed up at your place and Eden yelled, "Hey dad, Jim's here." And I'm like, okay, I'm now a recognized face.
Right. Like, I mean, she is, my daughter is growing every second and it impacts how I think and how I look.
Completely understood.
How I look at these things. So, and I think that's why for me, I have yet to be desensitized to this because I just every time it happens, it's like, oh my God, I'm gonna be sending my daughter into, you know, these types of situations, you know, because I ain't homeschooling shit. I'll just
no.
That's just not that, like, short of them just burning schools and I have no choices. It's like, she's going to school. I'm not homeschooling anything.
And let me try to clarify my emotion on it. It's literally, I see the pictures of these kids. And in the case of the Kentucky shooting, I'm looking and like, these are fucking children. I mean, they're so young. And I'm just disgusted and freaked out. But it does not stay with me. Unlike, you know, I remember the Sandy Hook shooting, and that just, like, you know, stayed in my head about as awful as it could get. And it was proof that we're not going to do anything different, because if 20-some 6, 7, and 8-year-olds can get murdered and we say, well, we're not doing anything, that we've punted on that issue. I mean...
Well, right. I mean, it's in... yeah. I mean, but I guess, and part of me says, of the things that we're going to do, are they substantial and significant enough to actually create the change that we want to see? And the more I think about it is, because I'm a realist, right? And I try to operate in reality as much as possible. You know, what solves the problem is definitely what, you know, we've talked with Mike Wood a number of times. He's written about it in his book. He's talked about it on countless shows. And
right.
The solution is very simple. We have to draw down the number of weapons and access to
and
weapons.
And access to and specifically handguns is what he'll say.
Right. And we have to do that. You want to solve this problem, that is how you solve it. But the reality is, we're not going to do that.
Well, and the other thing is that
it feels like to me, if that's the solution to the problem. And if you're not going to do that, anything you're doing other than that is for show. Because, you know, outlawing bump stocks and silencers and fully automatic weapons and all that shit is literally just for show, because it doesn't... You look at the worst situation. Like, no one... In reality, everyone who's calling for gun control, it's... situations like this in Kentucky and what happened in Texas, and anytime it's, you know, the victims are, you know, pretty white girls and young white children and all that, that's when people are really upset. No one gives a shit about what's happening in any major city with the urban center where the victims are black, right? So
but when you say you're right from a media perspective, but from an action in terms of changing laws, it's equal because nothing's happened either way.
Well, right, but yes, yes, agreed. But sorry, refill.
All good.
But what is motivating? What would motivate the change for gun control? What you think would motivate the change is who the victims are, right? When you look at what's presented, and you say, all right, well, obviously we're just going to say what's happening in the hood. No one gives a shit. So we're only going to focus on, you know, the crimes that everyone really cares about. You know, when it's, you know, it's, you know, we have the victim profile of those who we care about. But you look at what's being presented as things that are, you know, gun control. And it's just like, none of this is going to stop you know, these horrible incidents from happening, right? Silencer, bump stock, magazine, like, none of that shit is going to stop these things, these situations from happening.
But there's the difference between stopping it from possibly happening and reducing the likelihood and reducing the casualties.
I guess, yeah, but I mean, even still, I mean, like, if you want to say, all right, if you had magazine, then blah, 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 blah. But again, if you look at what happened in Las Vegas, right? Like let's introduce all the laws that you want to introduce. Vegas still happens.
Right, but it's not that many people. You take away bump stocks, you take away 100-round, 30-round magazines, and fewer people die. I'm not saying that's a, it's not a solution. I don't think there's a maybe about it. You can't just spray indiscriminately into a crowd. Then
but listen, if you want to get, but here's the thing: if you want to obtain
you will never achieve the zero deaths. You just can't.
Right, you're not gonna exactly. But if that, but we still don't have a motive for that guy. We have no idea. Like, he was just fucking crazy. He had a stockpile of weapons. Some obtained legally. Some obtained illegally. If you want to get, the great thing about humans is that we can, we're very, not adaptable, intuitive, but
adaptable.
Ingenuity. We have ingenuity.
Okay.
Right? Like, so we can invent shit and we can build shit and we can create shit. Right? Like, so you say, all right, well, you can't legally buy more, a clip with more than 10 rounds or a magazine with more than X number of rounds. Okay. You can't legally buy it. But you mean to tell me he's not going?
They're still out there. I mean,
they're still out there, and he's still going to be able to get access to it, and people will figure out a way to build around it. You know what I mean? So I just,
all right,
I get what you're saying, but I feel rabbit hole.
Right, exactly. We're just going to pull out of this. There was another thing that I thought was weird this week, and then we had a guy from Michigan got arrested for making death threats against CNN employees. He was not shy about. Calling out, he dropped, I think he called Don Lemon a nigger, and he said a bunch of shit about killing people who worked for CNN, and he called them all fake news, and there were a bunch of folks who said, I saw, you know, right-wing TV was saying, you can't put this on the president, and I say, yeah, I kind of can, because he was parroting the language that the president was using. The whole fake news thing, he was like, I'm going to kill you, CNN, you know, I forget what word you use, but throw in your racial and or homophobic slurs here. And he made the threats. I think he's been arrested. I know he's been arrested. I don't know what exactly he's been charged with. But this reminds me of that asshole that showed up at Cosmic Ping Pong Pizza to free the children from the sex dungeon that didn't exist. It's when you spew this hate and throw this shit out there, you are feeding the crazy people. And I'm not apologizing for calling this guy crazy. You are feeding the crazy people what they need to do the shit that they're going to do, and that's why we have some of these attacks.
Fair. But
and when the president of the United States is doing it, that's where,
and you're right. I mean, but again, this is a mental health issue, right?
Oh, clearly.
I mean, this is a mental health issue, and so you can't control for crazy. And yeah, Donald Trump, this is like, it's what Donald Trump does with his dog whistles and what Breitbart does and a lot of the
Patriot
Sean
Channel.
Hannity and Patriot and Mark Levin and all of them, right? They all do this thing where they whip these people up into a frenzy. And for the most part, most of these people are just going to, all they're going to do is just get shitty on social media. Right, like
or say it at the bar,
not even saying it at the bar, right? I mean, like, because it's just social media, right? Why say it at the bar? Why even risk a guy like me hearing it, getting pissed off and knocking you the fuck out when you can just be, you know, Captain Badass on the internet, right? Everybody does it. Like, it's amazing. Like, there are people that I'm associated with on social media who post some of the most ignorant, racist, ridiculous things, and I don't unfriend them. Like, I continue to just to be aware of like how far down, you know, where they're willing to go with it. But those same people would never say anything close to the shit that they post on social media. You know how I know? Because I've seen them in real life in social
settings.
Hey,
Steve, how you doing, man?
Right. It's just like, and you know, and I'm kind of getting to a point where I'm just going to be like, you know what? Hey, let's talk about this. You know, let's talk about it. Let's your lily white ass, who's never been outside of whatever suburb you're at right now, ever, in any circumstance. You've had the same job.
Oh,
all
no,
these
they went to the city twice last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's have that conversation. Like, I'm getting to the point where I want to do that, but I won't. But, I mean, the point is that that's most of their base. But the reality is, on the fringes, for the left and the right, you do have these people who have mental health issues, who take any little thing as some sort of a trigger to do something crazy. And it's, I don't think it's right to say, had it not been for Donald Trump, this guy wouldn't have done that. Because I think this guy would have figured out a way to find something to trigger him to do something crazy or stupid.
When you talk about the difference between liberals and conservatives, and obviously we're about to generalize wildly, but it's not that far off. Liberals tend to hear something that they don't agree with politically, and they mock it, and they have Trevor Noah or Stephen Colbert publicly mock it, and we sit here and slap our knees and say, "Ha ha ha! How funny these stupid people are!" And the right wing response to that is to make people really, really angry. You're a victim. You're being taken advantage of by minorities, by immigrants, by whatever. And it's almost always complete bullshit. But I'm not saying that, you know, making a joke about it accomplishes anything other than making a joke. But the Stephen Colberts and the Trevor Noahs and the Jon Stewarts of the world aren't out, and the Bill Maher's of the world aren't out there saying, these people are coming to destroy your life. They're taking, the reason you're not successful is because, that was an accidental switch to Alex Jones' voice, but, you know, they're not fomenting anger, hatred, and essentially calling people to arms, which the other side is doing. That's why I put all this on the right wing media and on the president to some degree. And then we even have now got a weird thing going on with the right wing media, and right wing politicians are now claiming that the FBI is part of this deep state conspiracy.
You're not like you don't agree with that side. You don't agree with their politics. Right. But there are people on the left who do the same exact shit. There are people on the left who do the same. Maybe you don't know them. You don't follow them because you're focused on what you don't like. You like Alec. You've got a bone. You've got an axe to grind with Alex Jones.
Yes.
And whatever. So you're going to like.
True. But do you see what I'm saying? Stephen Colbert isn't out there going, you know, these people are murderers, and if you knew what I knew, I've got connections to the deep state and blah, blah, blah. Well, he doesn't say deep state, but...
But Stephen Colbert is on CBS.
I understand.
Alex Jones is on his own fucking network on the internet and the radio doing whatever the fuck he wants
Keith
to do.
Keith Olbermann isn't calling out, you know, people to take up arms and fight the evil oppressors. He's being a smug, arrogant dick. But
if you go back, I mean, listen, there's a reason why Keith Olbermann doesn't have a job right now.
Okay.
There's a reason why he can't even work for MSNBC. And a lot of that is because he's very extreme, very far, far left. And some of his rhetoric taken the wrong way could push somebody to do something stupid. Someone who's not stable could push them to do something stupid. Like listen, the left isn't innocent here. And I mean, you can go to Alex Jones, but listen, how often do you listen to Channel 127 on Sirius, on satellite radio?
All right, I listen to 125 and 126 all the time. I don't even know what 127 is.
Yeah, that's a progressive channel.
I have listened to Stephanie Miller's on there.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
Okay, Stephanie Miller's on
channel there. Channel 127. There
no,
time,
you're right. They're...
Like, I listen to that channel, I'm like, oh my God. Like it's terrifying to me because
I usually listen to it for about five minutes.
And you know why you turn it off? Because it's ridiculous
stupid. Yep.
Okay. So it's no different than Breitbart. It's no different than the rest of that shit. And listen, there are people who listen to it and take it to heart. All you have to do, we can go on Twitter right now, and I can find people who are far left that are fucking crazy.
And maybe the difference is the people on the far left don't actually have the gun.
It's not. That's not true. There are people on the left who there are crazy people on the left with guns. Like let's not, like, I mean, we're
true,
making
but,
these sweeping
right,
generalizations about, I mean, like, there are crazy people on both sides.
No doubt.
Right, and I think you and I are trying to be the arbiters of objectivity, and so let's be objective. All right, let's be objective. Like this guy, but this guy, he is a mental health issue. Right, we're not, and I don't want to sit here and say, oh well, had not for Donald Trump, then this doesn't happen. That's you and I both. You should know that that's bullshit. This guy is fucking crazy. He was looking for a trigger. So he made death threats at CNN, and if it wasn't Donald Trump and CNN, it would have been something else. Dude's a head case.
Okay. So you're saying I'm giving it too much attention because it's one nut case, and if I try to...
I think you're giving it too much attention and trying to throw it on the president and say, see, you need to tone yourself down because this is what you caused. Like, that's bullshit. That guy's fucking crazy.
All right.
Something was going to trigger him.
All right.
A bad trip to McDonald's was going to trigger this guy.
Okay. So here's where I'm going to concede. One of my biggest objections is always people taking the extreme and trying to turn that into the norm. And all right. So I was kind of going down that road. Good. So here's an extreme that is becoming a norm that I won't shut up about. And that is what's going on in Arizona. So the Border Patrol, I put an article up about this on whiskeycongress.com. Basically, the Border Patrol arrested a guy for providing material help to people who crossed the border, probably illegally. And it was a first arrest of that nature in, I think they said, 7 years or something like that. And the previous arrest made under that law was a guy who literally picked someone up and drove them to a doctor. And they were, you know, charged with giving material support or whatever to someone who entered the country illegally. And I think it's kind of scary and sad that you get arrested for taking someone to get medical help. But what's going on in this case is a guy was putting, they had, it was, I forget the town in Arizona, but it was about 50 miles from the Arizona-Mexico border. And they had a place that was called The Barn. And it was basically where people knew, hey, there will be food and water at this place. So if you're dying in the desert, you can go there. Well, a guy who was supplying this water and food was arrested and charged with a crime in Arizona. And go to our website and you can see that article. You get all the details there. But what disturbed me the most, and the picture I attached to the file shows a Border Patrol agent literally destroying and dumping water and food in the desert so that people would not go there to receive that help. And that was just so disgusting to me, and for a few reasons. Because one of them is the people who would say that they support that action would probably also say that we're a Christian nation based on Christian principles. And I'm not a biblical scholar by any means, but when you're destroying something that could help prevent someone from dying in the desert because you don't want them to try to survive in the desert, don't call yourself a Christian. I do have a few words that I would use, but I'll take the high road for a change and not
okay.
Call them cops.
You're right. I don't have a ton to say about this. I don't have a ton to say about it. I mean,
it's terrifying.
Clearly,
because
you do.
I do. Well, it's scary to me because that is where our cultural acceptance is going, and that really, really bothers me. I mean, if you want to say these people shouldn't cross the border illegally, fine. We can have that debate all day long. I think it's people trying to find a better life for themselves, and we should be trying to support policies that make people not want to leave where they're from just based on the need to survive, whatever. But the idea that you would spend time, energy, and money to destroy something that could prevent someone from dying in the desert is disgusting, and that there's not... Again, I'm going to put this on the change in political tone. I won't put it on the president specifically, but now that he's there, this seems to be much more openly accepted, and that really bothers me. Done there if you want.
All right.
Okay.
I am resolving my issues on immigration. The reality is, there as a black male, a black American, I am expected to fight. Anyone who has a fight, I'm supposed to pick up the banner for everybody else in the fight. You know, gays, lesbians, transgenders, illegals, immigrants, whoever. It's always you need to pick up the banner and fight. Women, you have to pick up the banner and fight for everybody else. And it's like, okay, fine. And I'm starting to get to a point where it's hard for me because it's just like, all right, well, but guys who look like me are just getting murdered in the street. No one really gives a fuck. They use it for political gain, but no one cares. And when I say being murdered in the street, anybody can kill a black dude. No one really gives a shit, right? like gang violence happens. Like, I mean, like black men get murdered day in, day out, gang, cop, whoever, anybody can shoot us. Don't matter. No one gives a fuck. No one. But me, because, you know, I'm educated and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. It's just like, oh, well, you got to pick up the banner for this person. You got to pick up the banner for this group. You got to pick up the banner for this group. You got to pick up the banner for that group. And if you don't, then you're a cis male and you don't, you got isms and ists and all that other shit. And you're not down for the cause and you're not a part of the movement and you're not progressive enough. Like, bitch, I don't want to be progressive. I want to make sure I can walk down the fucking street. And no one's fucking fighting for me. So at the end of the day, actually, fuck you. I don't need you to fight for me. I'm going to fight for myself. And by me fighting for myself, that means I don't give a fuck about your cause. I don't give a fuck about a fucking immigrant. Bitch, I'm here legally. You know how I got here? You know how I got here? They took fucking people from another fucking continent, chained them up on a boat, brought them over here, beat the shit out of them, made them do everything to get this country to where it is, and told those people, you're a second-class citizen. And now I'm standing here doing everything that I'm fucking doing. So that's what I'm dealing with. I don't give a fuck that you're coming over to, you want to come here, you got a chance to do it legally, go to the fucking door. You don't get to sneak in. Go to the fucking door.
But you
don't, gays and lesbians, I don't give a fuck. Because you can hide your shit. I can't hide the fact that I'm a black male. You're gay, you can fucking hide that. I can't fucking hide anything. Like that, and so there's a frustration there. That you want to talk about angry fucking black male? At the end of the day, I'm angry as fuck because I got to fight for everybody and no one gives a fuck about me. No one gives a fuck. So you know what? Fine. I don't need you to fight for me. I don't need you to care about me. I'll do it on my own. Fuck you and fuck all your other shit though. If you don't want to fight for me, if you don't want to stand, you want to see Eric Garner get choked in the street and die for fucking selling cigarettes, then fuck you. Get the fuck out of my face. You want to see Walter Scott get shot in his fucking back because he had fucking late child support payments and you don't give a fuck. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. Fine. I'll fight for myself. You want to see these kids getting mowed down and these kids are killing each other left and right, day after day after day after day after day. And no one, Sean King on fucking Twitter cares for everything. Sean King is fighting more for these fucking immigrants that these people aren't here fucking legally than he is for people who look just like him. So, yeah, I got a fucking axe to grind. And don't get me fucking,
Don't tell me not to get you started. You're started.
Right. Like, so, and I got a fucking issue with that. I got an issue with that. So here's the deal. I'm gonna fight for these guys. I'm gonna fight for these young black males. I'm gonna fight for them to think on their own and to do what they have to do to succeed. I'm gonna fight for them to not get sucked into the bullshit of fighting for other people. They gotta fight for themselves. They have to. We have to. And even though I am where I am, I can't stop because all it takes is one slip up, and the next thing you know, I'm another fucking statistic victim, whatever, you know? And so that's where I get frustrated. And so I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to say, I didn't want to put it out there because there are a lot of people who will take everything I just said and just like, oh, you're anti whatever. You know what? Call me whatever the fuck you want to. My record speaks for itself in terms of me being the guy who stands up and defends for and works for a lot of people. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of getting tired of it because I'm not seeing anything in fucking return.
I understand. And
I don't think you do. Actually, okay. You don't.
I don't live it.
That's for damn sure.
Right. But that's a key point. That's a key point.
Fair. All right. So this is the kind of conversation that doesn't often happen, right? People don't, a black guy and a white guy don't sit down, drink and share these thoughts. And you can call me out and say, you don't understand, you don't appreciate this or don't understand it fully. And I can't really argue with you on that. Because I have not walked in those shoes, and I can't.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean I can't care. It Yes. doesn't mean I can't support all these causes.
Right.
And the majority of this is cultural, historical, and systemic, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the things that are cultural and historical, I think, are trending in the right direction. I think over the past 50, 60 years, it's been almost, there's been a little bit of a blip in the last 5 or 10 years, but historically it's been trending. I mean, clearly the way you are treated as a black male in America today is way better than it was in 1965 and 75 and 85 and 95. That doesn't mean it's good, right, or fixed. It just means it's trended better. I don't know that the systemic, all right, if I'm going to compare Jim Crow days to today, systemically, it's better by a lot. But that doesn't mean it's not still really fucked up. And a lot of the stuff that goes on and gets said is, you know, we talk about this all the time. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. What about black?
I think here's the deal. I when I look at everybody, you pick whatever you want to fight for. But more to my point, and there's probably a lot of people who said, fuck you, I'm not listening anymore, based off of what I just said, which is fine. It happens. It goes across,
right.
You know, growing the... But I mean, it is what
I'm not eating another chip to bring these people back, so...
But, I mean, listen, to a broader point is, man, like, I look at young black boys. When I go home to Youngstown or even here and around Cleveland, and the role models are limited. Like, no one's really... no one's truly fighting for them, right? I mean, and these kids, like... We want, it's, like, listen, I have a daughter, and I want my daughter, like, there's so, like, I see so much potential in her, and I want her to have every opportunity to succeed. And I will give my life to make sure that that happens. I promise you, right? There should be no doubt in anyone's mind of the amount that I would be willing to sacrifice to see my daughter succeed. But I don't know if anyone else has that passion for, you know, my daughter's friend, Jackson, who is also black, like, there's no one really fighting for him. Like, everyone wants to see my daughter go into some sort of science,
right,
technology, mm-hmm, math field, and then they want to see her get an opportunity to go on and be, you know, whatever she wants to be as a CEO, but then she should be able to wear a skirt and dance in a tutu and do all these other things and be everything that she wants to be as a woman and then, you know, rule the world and everything else. And I want that for her, and everybody should want that for her. But Jackson, her best friend, he's black. And, you know, no one's really rooting for him. No one's really saying, I want to see him in these same classes. I want to see him succeed, because somehow that then is, you know, the patriarchy and you know, she needs to get more than him and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, then white people are all butt hurt because there's, like, too many black people and, you know, minorities getting success. And it's, you know, like, so everybody's all pissed off about everything. But I need somebody to root for Jackson. I want to, I got to root for Jackson. And I got to root for that kid to make sure that he stays on track and that he has a positive role model. You know, like, just, what if Jackson comes out as a straight male, right, that wants to succeed, right, that likes women and wants to be an athlete and wants to be aggressive and wants to be good at his job in finance or whatever. Like, I need to root for him to get there. And he shouldn't be made to feel bad. I shouldn't be made to feel bad or attacked for wanting that to happen. I want him to be sensitive to women. I want him to use his relationship with my daughter as something that he can lean on so he understands how women feel and how to be respectful and not be a fucking degenerate rapist asshole. Like, I don't want him to be that, but I do want him to succeed, and I want him to have support. So I'm going to support him in doing that. And so in doing that, I'm going to say, listen, you know what? You guys want to fight the fight for the fucking illegal immigrants, fight it. You guys want to fight the fight for the gay rights and everything else, fight it. I'm going to fight for Jackson. That's the battle line that I'm choosing.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to criticize that.
You won't, but listen.
I'm sure people...
And you know what? There's nobody on the... Like, and the funny thing is, there's a lot of people I can't stand with the conservative politics and the GOP. There's nobody on the right who's going to criticize me for that, but there's a whole lot of people on the left who will fucking, who would eviscerate me for that. And you know it. Who would eviscerate me for everything that I said.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Right? I mean, and that's the fucked up part about it. And that's the group that I'm supposed to affiliate with and align with, right? Because they got my best interest and they get the fuck out of here, you know.
All right. Let's
Can we go to something else?
Let's go something.
You know what? You know what? Apparently I need to go to Vermont. You know why I need to go to Vermont?
Because you can get weed there legally. You could use some weed right now.
Apparently
I would be much happier if you were smoking weed rather than drinking whiskey right now, because
I'm mad as shit.
He's right? Mad as shit, and he's drinking mediocre to above average whiskey, and it's not my fault your whiskey sucks. Don't get mad at me. Did I buy that bottle or did you? I think you did.
I did.
Okay, good. All right. So Vermont is the last, most recent state to legalize weed. And what's interesting about Vermont is they just did it. They just said, the state legislature put a law out there and said, we're catching up to the rest of the world. Fuck it. And the governor signed it, and it's done. There was no referendum with all. And if you look at the referendum that went down in Ohio a couple years ago, I know lots of serious weed advocates who voted against that because that bill was fucked up. It was basically going to create a monopoly for legalized marijuana in Ohio. It was going to make 5 or 7 people really rich. And, you know, it's been said on the show 150 times now, I am a huge advocate for legalization, but I'm not a user. I've never consumed marijuana in my life, although we talked about whether or not I would change that. But
you should have done it in Vegas.
I shouldn't. Oh, that would be the worst fucking idea ever. I was going to experience Vegas for the first time and weed for the first time. And I was offered an edible. Fair. Can you think of how bad an idea that would have been? I mean, barely survived that trip as it was.
True. We do need to go back.
We definitely need to go back to Vegas. But so Vermont did it. Vermont just said, fuck it. It's legal now. And I kind of like that. That's how it should be done. States should just say, you elected a legislature. That legislature is going to decide what is and is not legal. If you don't like it, vote for someone else next time. But putting these convoluted, weird ballot things that pop up at the wrong times just doesn't help.
You have to give the people an opportunity.
They voted for legislatures.
Well, I think there's an argument for both sides. There's an argument to say you put the people in office for a reason, let them do their job. And there's also an argument to say that let the people have a say in what happens in their state. I don't have a problem either way. I don't think it has to be one way or the other. Vermont chose to do it this way. I mean, listen,
California went the other way, right?
Vermont is a pretty, free.
It is the greenest state
out there. So I don't think this is a big deal for Vermont. I think that they said, why are we going to waste time putting it on a ballot? We know how it's going to vote, how people are going to vote. I mean, driving down the street in Vermont, like almost everybody's got a pot plant in the window.
And it's like Ben and Jerry's is there for a reason.
Exactly. So they said, all right, fuck it. We know our people. Let's just call it. And I don't think they're getting a ton of pushback.
No,
I'm sure there's a small contingent of conservatives that live in Vermont that have their panties in a bunch over it. But
I'm sure you're right.
I mean, it's just like,
but they're also probably high.
Right. Well, no, but I mean, you know what? Like, you motherfuckers would have lost on the ballot anyway, right? I mean, so either way, that's how Vermont handle it. I don't have a problem with it, but I also don't have a problem with states who say, let's put it, like, in a state like Ohio, it wasn't like you didn't know. And for legislators to say, to take an issue like that and say, we'll just do it for you, that would have got a lot of pushback in Ohio. So in Ohio, it's got to be put on the ballot. It's not like what we got. They got by a landslide.
I know it was close. Anyway, that law was fucked up. I voted for legalization because I want people to stop going to jail for doing something that is no worse and many would argue better than what I'm doing sitting here right now drinking a Manhattan. I don't want people in jail for that, and so that's why I'm a huge advocate for legalization. It's like that. So many people are in prisons because of something no worse than what is sitting right in front of me. All right, man. One other thing I want to talk to you about, because this has racial implications, it has comedy implications, and it has capitalism implications. And we have not had a chance to actually talk about it. We're too busy trying to light my butthole on fire for the last week.
We aren't. I actually had nothing to do with lighting your butthole on fire. Read the wrong way.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Don't quote me Pelosi style on that one.
Exactly.
So Monique wanted to get people to boycott Netflix because she was being discriminated against as a black person and as a woman. And she said she was only offered $500,000 to do her special when Dave Chappelle was offered $20 million and Amy Schumer was offered $13 million. So she was being discriminated against. And she wanted a boycott.
And then she went out and called out Oprah for not supporting her.
I didn't know that.
You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, she called out Oprah because Oprah didn't support her.
Okay. So here's... Do you want to go first? Do you want me to?
No, I just ranted on how I... No, you should go first.
Okay. Yeah.
We need a little space.
You know what? Probably a good idea.
Everybody wants a little space from me right now. So, you go ahead.
Yeah. So, all right. Here's my thought. I've heard Monique comedy bits on satellite radio. nothing impressed me or turned me off to her. I really don't know her.
You also don't think Jerry Seinfeld is funny. So
I didn't say that. I never said that. I said he's.
What'd you say?
I said his show is the most critique of comics. Okay. Anyway, you're dragging people into our debate yesterday while I was still under the hallucinatory effects of a Carolina Reaper chip, so nothing I said yesterday could be held against me. All right, so here's my thoughts on this. I don't think Monique is being discriminated against because of her race or because of her gender. I think she's being offered a substantial, although substantially less amount of money than others in her field because she is not as big a draw as others in her field, and that's what Netflix offers people money based on. I mean, if you want to throw back that Amy Schumer's last Netflix special was a shit show, I'll totally agree. It was. I like Amy Schumer. I thought the movie Trainwreck was hilarious. I like her a lot as a stand-up. Her last Netflix special sucked, period. So if Netflix could get that money back, I'm sure they'd want it back. But I just don't. I do not see discrimination here. Your thoughts?
Jim, here's the deal. I guess, how often do people quote Dave Chappelle?
All the time.
On a pretty consistent
basis. Yes, I do it most weeks, if not more often than that.
Right. You try to force a Chris Rock. You try to force a Chris Rock quote down the show's throat every episode, right?
It's happened more than once.
You're not alone, right? You know, Amy Schumer, I kind of like her. She can get annoying, but she is funny. I've actually seen her stand up live.
Oh, really?
I went to a.
She came through town a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I saw her. She was at. Was that the Q?
I think she was the Q.
Yeah, it was at the Q. It was either the Q or the Wolfstein Center. But, and she's funny and she's a big draw. And this is capitalism. Like, listen, I think that if Netflix doesn't really care about the socio-political aspect. Because if they did, there's no way. If they really did, there's no way they would have gave Dave Chappelle the money they gave him. You know, right, if you look at the content on
Netflix,
he's
so fucking good, though. He is so fucking good.
But if you also look at the content on Netflix, they don't care about people pushing boundaries. They obviously have a progressive agenda, not agenda, but they don't mind progressive politics. And so, Monique is wrong here. Because the issue is she's not a draw. Listen, they gave you $500,000 and said do a special. I guarantee you. I won't guarantee. I don't know, but had it been wildly successful, a bunch of thumbs ups and great comments and everything else, they would have said, all right, do another one, and they would have gave her 10 times as much. You know, they say, all right, here's $3 million to come and do another.
Or they would have offered her $1 million to do the next one, and she could say, fuck you, look what I did last time, I want $5 million, and they would have said, okay.
Or any of that, right? I mean, like, yes, Dave, like, you can't throw the race thing out there if you're going to use Dave Chappelle as, you know, Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock. Like, it's not race, because clearly they'll throw, and Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock have never held back in their comedy about race.
That is fair.
So it's not a racial thing, right? And they threw a shit ton of money at Amy Schumer. If you want to say, well, it's just because she's a white bitch, then okay, fine. It's just because she's a white bitch, but they threw that money at that white bitch. And it's not sexist.
She was coming off a huge successful movie.
Right. She's coming off a huge successful movie.
And then she redid her stuff and it sucked, but okay.
Okay, but you, like, no one gives a shit about your critique of comedy, right? At the end of the day, people who consume it think she's funny.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. That special did suck.
Okay, but again, no one gives a shit about your critique of comedy. You don't work for Netflix. You don't control the flow. A lot of people think that she's funny. A lot of people watch that special, enjoyed it. So that's why she gets paid what she gets paid.
Yep.
Monique... Shit, Monique was blackballed in Hollywood. Now, if you want to say Monique was blackballed in Hollywood for, you know, racial, sexist reasons, okay, fine, whatever. Karma for you for being shitty in comics. You're an up and coming wannabe comic, and you're shitting on comics that are very established. That's why you're choking.
I'm not shitting on comics. Okay.
You shit on Jerry Seinfeld yesterday. You just shit on Amy Schumer.
You didn't do the Jedi mind trick and, like, you know, as much as you'd like to.
Anyway, so it's not with this whole thing with Monique is like, listen, like Monique got blackballed in Hollywood. And if you want to say that was based off of race and sexism, okay, fine. But that happened. And you went away, Monique, for a long time. You didn't have a following. Your following was fucking other, you know, chubby black girls who were kind of funny. That's your following. That's actually not a huge draw in the world of fucking Netflix and making money. So you need to go build, you need to go build your base, and you need to go build your draw. You need to go build up a reason for people to want to pay money to see you, right? Like, actually, you don't even, actually, people don't even have to pay money. You just need to build up enough of a presence so people right. want to click on your special and watch it. And if you get enough people to click on your special and watch it, then Netflix will pay you more for the next one. It's about negotiation. It's about the it's about value. Like, and then after the fact, she calls out Oprah because Oprah didn't say anything on her and didn't support her. And she's like, "Oh, Oprah doesn't support black women." Bullshit.
She's done a little bit in her day.
Right. I mean, it's just like, get the fuck out of here. I mean, like, listen, I think Monique missed the boat. She missed the target. She fucked up. Like, she's moderately funny. I think that, you know, the fucked up part about it is I think she and Anthony Anderson were on a similar track. And now some people will say, well, Anthony Anderson is a man.
I don't know who Anthony Anderson is.
The show Black-ish on fucking ABC.
Okay.
He was in, like...
Okay. All right, now that you say that, I did not know him by name. Sorry.
fucking white guys. but I think those two people were on a very similar track. Anthony Anderson played it smart. She didn't. She went diva mode too early. It cost her. Now, listen, there are plenty of white women who have pulled the same shit that she pulled and didn't get blackballed, but I think you got to know, like... On the one hand, like, see, you got to, like, some of this shit, it's multifaceted and it's complicated. Like, because a lot of people say she should be able to do the same shit white chicks do and get treated the same way. All right, fine. I'll agree with you. But in the reality is that she can't. Like, you got to, in Hollywood, you got to fit it. Like, listen, you want to work, you want to make money, you can't just go diva mode because you made a movie with fucking Ice Cube. You know, like, you're not ready to be a diva. Like, she, you know, like, her comedy star kind of started to skyrocket, you know, after she had done a couple movies with Ice Cube and a couple other, you know, like, she was in a couple things. And then she was in Precious, and, she got an Oscar for that. And then I guess she was, you know, the rumor has it, like, I don't know, allegedly she became, like, she was like, oh, well, I'm the queen. It's just like, you know, like, you got to control for racism. Right, like, you got to know that, like, listen, if you get too big for your britches, they will try to shut you down, and so you have to play the game. She didn't play it right, and she lost.
And let's define losing here. Losing was getting offered $500,000. Now, I know you very well, I think, and I know one thing that sets you off is the white guy in the bar saying, "I would play sport X for free." You know, why is this black guy making all this money? And so I don't want to be that guy when I say, there's a lot of comics out there who would make a special for $500,000 and be happy about it, but there are. I mean,
right? And I think, and I'm not 100% sure where she's coming from with the idea that she should be paid more. Like, when, like,
I mean, it's like, and Chappelle and got it, Amy Schumer got it. Nah, why am I not getting
but
it?
But because
you're not Chappelle,
you
Amy Schumer,
done, you haven't done what they've done,
right?
Like Oscar doesn't we are equal
completely,
money.
We're completely, especially Oscar for a movie that is not related to comedy. I mean,
right? Because my question is, how much did you get paid for that movie?
And I have no idea. I guess not a lot.
I can't believe. I mean, right? Because that movie, it's not like that movie had a massive budget. Right. So, how much did you get paid for the movie in which you won an Oscar? And then, how much have you been paid since then? Right? Because if you haven't been paid shit since then, now, if you want to argue that is based off of racism and sexism and everything else, okay, fine. But Netflix, the fact that they came in and said, "Here's $500,000." I guarantee you, Netflix said, you make some money off you. You pull in enough viewership, we'll give you more on the second
right,
go round,
right?
Or what have you? And she decided that no, she wanted more now. She's not gonna win this one with me. She should have taken the money. What she should have done is taken the money, blown it out of the door. You know, blown the doors off of it,
and then said.
And then
pay me.
Yeah. Pay me or I'm going to Hulu. Pay me or I'm going to Hulu.
Or I'm going to go Ice Cube in Brian's office.
Right. Yes. But do that. First of all, secure the bag. Right, like get your fucking money.
Get your half million.
Like, all right, you're mad because you're not getting 9 million. Bitch, take the 500,000. Like, fuck it, take them, do the special, or do you got one or two options? Take it, do the special, knock it out of the park, and then go like bounce on Netflix and go to Hulu, Amazon, or whoever, or take it and just do a dog shit job, and you just got paid $500,000 to do a fucking dog shit job. But either way, secure the bag, get the money. Right, like you did neither. You didn't get the money, and now you're sitting here on fucking Instagram telling people to boycott Netflix. Please, I love The Punisher. I'm not giving it up for you.
He loves the show The Punisher. Not he'd love to punish her, or both. All right, want to wrap it up on that?
Wrap it up.
Thank you for listening.
Wrap it up, B. Speaking of Dave Chappelle,
yes. Wrap it up. That was a great bit. All right, so we are at Whiskey Congress on social media. We're whiskeycongress.com. Please check out our YouTube video and Facebook page of me getting lit up by a chip while my friend sat stoically next to me, acting like she'd eaten a marshmallow. Thanks again to Josh Lawhorn for filming and editing it. And thank you all for listening. Take care. Out.
Later.